This is the Bike Snob of New York City, and you're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance FM 104.4.
This is The Bike Show here on Resonance FM with me, Jack Thurston, as your host for a half hour of bicycling radio, as ever on a Monday evening. If you've been listening for the last 2 weeks to the show, you will know that we've been talking about the history of Rally, the Rally Bicycle Company, the greatest bicycle manufacturing company to have come from this country of Great Britain, the rise of Rally and the fall. It's kind of a sad story, actually, when you think about it, what has happened to the company over the years. And at the end of the show last week, I asked you, as a listener to The Bike Show, to plunder your memories of riding a Rally bicycle, probably from your childhood days, and send in your memories to us here on The Bike Show, and we would read them out. And that's what we're going to do this week on the show. And I have a couple of friends, well, a friend and a relative, Jean-Marie Oran, who you will have heard if you've listened to the show, talking about many things, style on a bicycle. And you look very stylish on your Rally 20, Jean-Marie.
You're such a charmer, Jack. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Although I have to say you've parked an enormous great BMW motorcycle outside.
It's not all about size.
It's about the petrol. And sitting next to Jean-Marie is Ruby Wright, my cousin, radio producer, presenter of Ruby's Chicky Boil-Ups on Radio Nowhere and the occasional documentary strand here on Resonance FM. Ruby.
That's right. Hello, Jack.
Did you ever ride a rally?
Well, now this is the thing. I don't think so, but I don't know. My first ever bike was called Le Bike. I assume it wasn't a rally, but I don't know who made it. So, you know, I'm afraid. I had a Doors, I had a few crappy things, but I don't think I had a rally.
OK, well, let's get into the listeners' memories, and I'll kick it off with Paul Deacon, who writes in saying the following. I had a Rally Roadrunner, and then my first proper bike, the Rally Stratos. This bike stands out as a symbol of my cycling coming of age. In the years and months leading up to the receipt of the Stratos, my childhood fantasies revolved around the procurement of the bike, followed by the procurement of a myriad of bolt-on extras, mileometer, rear-view mirrors, kickstand, mudguards, dynamo lights, the more the better. The Stratos was a good start, but then in the same year, I discovered professional bike racing. Overnight, mudguards, brake lever extensions, kickstands, dynamos and racks had no place at all on my dream bike. Inevitably, off came the now superfluous extras and on went the fruits of my pocket money, the Campagnolo 980 rear mech. I vividly recall riding this bike on warm summer evenings on a 7-mile loop in South Buckinghamshire, inspired by Phil Anderson lapping the field in the Kellogg City Centre series, back when heroes were heroes. In the last year, I've collected the components to recreate, in almost new condition, the Rally Grand Sport I lusted after 30 years ago. Next week, I'll also collect a Rally 531 frame repainted in Panasonic team colours so I can finally make a convincing Phil Anderson. Thanks, Paul.
And I've got this from Ian Reed, who says, I'm 41 and have cycled since I first got on a bike at a very tender age. I've had several rallies over the years. I had a Boxer, which was like a single-speed, smaller version of the Grifter. Very cool, like a pre-BMX. I had a Rally Burner BMX, which looked rather smart in black and gold. One good thing about rallies was the guarantee on the frame. I don't know if they still do this, but it used to be that they would replace a broken frame and even have a dealer put on the old components on a new frame. The age of the frame didn't seem to matter. I snapped the down tube of the burner and it was replaced without question, something much appreciated, seeing as I'd paid for it with a paper round.
Well, someone from New Hampshire in the USA, Eric Nichols, who lives in Newfields, and he writes, "It is the fall of 1982, in the basement of my graduate student dormitory at MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Deep in the darkest corner, I spy a dust-covered bike locked to a water heater. The tires have long since rotted away, and the chain is frozen with rust, no doubt abandoned by a student after some long-ago graduation. As I lean it upright, the lock crumbles apart. The bike is free, and now it's mine. It is a Rally Sports, black, of course, with three-speed Sturmey Archer hub that is date-stamped 1962. After fresh tires, chain, and some hub oil, it becomes my around-town bike, and later, my daily commuter. That bike is still with me, having survived moves to California and New Hampshire, marriage, children, and many other stable mates. It is still in service, 50 years after it was made, and 30 years after I became its steward, doing regular duty between my house and the general store a mile down the road."
Bill Gentry writes in from North London. He says, "I inherited my brother's chopper bicycle in 1981 or 1982 when I was 8 or 9. My main memory of it is riding along dirt tracks and paths in Epping Forest. A favourite spot was the Hollow Ponds, which were, still are, handily opposite Whips Cross Hospital." I'm not quite sure why that's handy, Bill. I guess it's because you were riding a rally chopper. "These are dried out Edwardian boating ponds, but back then, in our imaginations, they were leftover bomb craters from the Blitz. A mass of man-made sand and gravel banks to play on, and it was all about play. Typical was the Sugar Bowl, a large hollow where you shot down one side and tried to jump in the air as you exited on the other side. Very happy days." Well, thanks for that, Bill. And by the way, congratulations on tying the knot over the summer. I hope Tandem Life is treating you both very well.
This is from USA, but it's from Mark Drayton, who's British, and he says, "The hardest, trendiest mountain bike available at my local shop was the Rally Lizard. I thought this was the coolest bike ever. I nagged my parents incessantly for one, and they eventually capitulated when I was 10 or 11. There were no complicated questions of size or fit at the bike shop. If you could just about stand over the top tube, it was the right size, and if you could touch the ground while in the saddle, it fitted. I loved that bike. I have many memories of tearing around the neighbourhood on it, being told off for speed riding on the pavement, chewing up friends' gardens, and lots of crashing. Looking back, it was extremely unwieldy with a heavy chromo frame and hopeless canty brakes on stainless steel or chromed rims. But at the time, I had no knowledge of anything better. It probably rode like a bike made from gas pipes, but at 11 years old, all that mattered were the stickers on the side and that it had a rear derailleur protector, a steel cage around the rear mech. Cool bikes had derailleur protectors, uncool bikes did not. I had one or two more rallies after the Lizard, but none was as memorable. I've no idea what happened to it. I imagine it went on the tip or was swallowed by the clutter in the family garage. I assume there were other bikes available at the time, but the only brand that any non-cyclist, i.e. the rest of my family, were aware of was Rally, which probably explains why me and my friends had so many of them."
Nick Moore wrote about his Rally recollections on the Bike Show's Facebook page, the famous and popular Bike Show's Facebook page. His memories of the Lizard model are not quite as rosy. "I once trashed a fluoro green Rally Lizard on some mountain in Wales, testing it for Witch magazine. It was one of those bikes that looked like it should be a mountain bike, but had one of those stickers saying that it should not be used off-road, and this proved extremely useful."
Thanks very much for that one. Dave Flitcroft writes in from across the channel in France, and he says, "A red Rally Hercules was my first real bike, bought as a gift by my parents from Halfords, back when it was just a stall in Bolton Market Hall. I was around 12, the date around 1972. It was a roadster with straight handlebars, Sturmey Archer 3-speed and metal mudguards. That bike was never cool. I had mates who had choppers and one who rode his mum's Moulton, but this was the machine that started my cycling life. My most precious memory was my first bike tour on it with a friend to the Lake District, aged 14. With my paper round pocket money, I put drops on it, got a Caradise Nelson long flap saddlebag and a Brooks B17 saddle. Even at 14, Dave, you knew your stuff. I added steel cage pedals with toe clips, got a yellow plastic cape and sou'wester, and joined the Youth Hostel Association. With a little planning and advance booking, off we cycled for a 7-day tour. We swam in lakes, plunged in rivers, even a flooded field. Unbelievably, my mate, who was aged 17, got served in the pubs, so I would wait outside and he would bring us out a half pint of Guinness and blackcurrant. I remember putting the bike in the bike sheds at various hostels, taking off the saddlebag and going into the hostel to find our bunks. Everything would be carefully packed away the following day and off we'd go again. I have no photos of that tour, no YHA membership card with the stamps that were at the time so important, but it is without doubt that tour on that bike that sowed the seeds of a lifetime of cycling.
Well, that's lovely. This one's been lovingly typed out in Comic Sans, and it's from Stuart Barker, a.k.a. Funboy Robbie. And he says, as a child of the 60s, growing up in the Scottish border town of Howick, the bicycle was the mode of transport that would get you to school or to visit your granny's house. My first job in 1974 was as a message boy for a small grocer's called John Miller's. I delivered folks' groceries up to 2 miles away. I remember trying to cycle up the steepest hills with a box of groceries without trying to get off the bike. I think I was the last working message boy in Howick as the supermarkets moved in around that time and my old boss closed his grocer shop. I remember using my Rally 20 foldable version to go to school and travel everywhere in the town. One day during the summer holidays, I heard the hit on the radio, My White Bicycle by Nazareth. Straight away, I went into my dad's shed, found a tin of white gloss paint, and you've guessed it, in 1 hour I had my very own Rally White Bicycle. I still have two Rallies in my collection. My winter bike is a Rally Airlite 300, and my commuting bike is a Rally Firefly hardtail mountain bike. I think it is a very British thing to ride a rally, and it has played its part in the enjoyment I have had out of cycling over the last 45 years.
Dan writes in from America. My first and only rally was purchased at the mall, it says US in brackets, for what seemed to my parents as an astronomical cost, $225. I was about 15 and lived in my hometown in rural upstate New York. The store was not a bike shop, but a sporting goods store, so this was about 1985. Anyway, it was red and it was named Pursuit. I rode that bike everywhere, if my folks only knew. It was the first time I felt boundless, day or night, alone or with a couple of friends. I would like to say I love the bike, but to be honest, I don't think it mattered what bike it was.
Very nice. Jonathan Schofield writes in, 10th of May, 1978, my 8th birthday. My dad enters my bedroom and informs me that I have to follow a postcard trail around the house. He says it will lead to my birthday present. Each postcard was stuck to the wall and contained questions ranging from math problems to working out the time from carefully drawn clock faces. I was rubbish at maths and telling the time, but you had to work for stuff in my house. For what seemed like hours, I worked my way through the house, down the stairs, into the living room, and finally the kitchen, where the last question was stuck to the big cupboard containing the washing machine. I answered, 10 to 3! Which was correct, and I opened the door to find a gleaming new Rally Commando, resplendent in its camouflage army colours. That moment is embedded in my psyche. Things were different in the 1970s. We really did go out in the morning and return home in the evenings, just in time for tea. On my new Commando, with its nifty 3 gears, I joined friends on grifters and choppers for ever-increasingly long bike rides through the Essex countryside, along country lanes, sometimes along A-roads, howling with laughter as lorries roared past, creating their own hurricane winds, before delving off into muddy footpaths, woodland trails and across farmers' fields. And then, one day that summer, James, on his grifter, and me decided we would ride to London. How far could it be? We headed out of town and onto the A11. We knew the way. We'd driven along the road and onto the M11 for family trips to London, and it seemed pretty straightforward. I dread to think how much shorter my life might have been if, while sitting on the roundabout and looking down at the M11 motorway, we had decided to freewheel down that slip road and ride the hard shoulder to London. We didn't. We cycled home, far exceeding the tea time arrival time and being on the end of a good telling off. Of course, no one ever knew that we had ridden our bikes to the M11 with vague plans to see Big Ben. Youthful nostalgia tells me I must have ridden tens of thousands of miles on that commando. It wasn't sleek, but it was robust. And maybe without realising the significance at the time, my rally commando made the world a bigger and more adventurous place. Well, that's fantastic, Jonathan. And we're going to take a little musical break, and I'm going to dedicate this tune to you and to James on your commando and your grifter. Alan Dickey writes in from Edinburgh to share his rally recollection with us. And it's as follows. The first and only rally bicycle I've owned was a Dynatec Diablo mountain bike, part titanium, part steel. I bought this bike when I was 14 or 15 years old for the princely sum of £450, which at the time was without doubt the most expensive thing I had ever owned or paid for myself. I paid for the bike by working for my dad over the summer holidays, and every couple of weeks when I got paid, I would pay a little bit more off on the bike. When I did this, I always went down to the shop to inspect my bike, which was sat in the showroom, tempting me to ride it. It looked so sleek and modern with its black painted rear end and head tube and gorgeous polished titanium tubes glinting in the light. Finally, the day came when I could take it home and ride it. I still remember that first ride. It was so light and so fast compared to my old bike, which must have had tubes filled with concrete to weigh so much. Living in the countryside, my bike was pretty much the only mode of transport I had, so it provided me with a great deal of freedom. On weekends, summer nights and school holidays, I would cycle down to my friends' houses or to the local village where we would play football, go swimming in the river, or when the weather wasn't so nice, hang around the pool room of the local pub. After buying a road bike about 5 years ago, I really got bit by the cycling bug again and made the decision to try to resurrect the Dynatec, which was stored in one of my dad's sheds. I took a trip to my parents and was genuinely excited about riding the bike that formed such a big part of my youth. To my distress, the bike was nowhere to be seen. I hunted high and low and in both my dad's sheds under all the junk piled up, but couldn't find my bike. I asked my brothers, one of whom had been rumoured to have borrowed it without asking, but nobody had seen it. It was gone. I've never found out what happened to my rally Dynatec Diablo. Was it stolen? Was it borrowed, never to be returned? Nobody knows. But one thing's for certain. I miss my old bike and would love to be reunited with it so I can ride it again.
This is from Jeff Northcutt, who lives in New Zealand. I learnt to ride a bike on my mum's old rally, probably a 1950s bike, made in England with a Brooks saddle, single speed, rear carrier and a basket on the front. It was too big for me, but as it was a lady's frame, I was able to ride it by standing and pedalling. Once I got to balance, the next part to learn was going round corners. I went into long grass and hedges near our house, which was in the country, before I finally mastered the art of cornering. This was all done in a day, as I recall, when I was about 10 or so, a bit late in learning to ride by today's standards. These days, 40 or so years later, I commute to work by bike in Christchurch, and I've enjoyed recreational cycling and touring throughout the intervening years. I have to thank Mum's old 1950s rally for introducing me to the joys of cycling.
You have Tsaba writes in. When I was 12 in 1972, I pestered my parents for a chopper, and they eventually gave in. After all, the bike looked amazing. It had to be good. Unfortunately, I soon discovered I rode like crap. All style, no substance. I wanted to cycle and go places, and the chopper was useless for this. Anything more than a few miles was agony, and as for hills, forget it. After struggling on it for a year, I eventually traded it in for another rally. This time a proper bike. 10 speeds, 27-inch wheels, drops, etc. That was my first proper bike. I toured on it around England and France, and led me to joining a club and becoming a proper cyclist to this day. The chopper would probably be worth a small fortune today.
Thanks for that one. Jeff Katzer keeps it short and sweet. Rally Portage, a beautiful piece of functional rolling bicycle art with 650B tyres that I put many thousands of miles on in the 80s and 90s. I eventually gave it to my brother, and he still rides it around town. Richard Turley writes, my first proper bike was a Rally Burner. I remember it well, Richard. The blue one with the yellow mag wheels. I walked past it in the bike shop window on my way to school for what felt like ever, and always used to stop and look at it. Eventually, one day when I went to visit my gran with my parents, they took me out into the garden halfway through the afternoon, and there it was. I was immediately out learning to ride and ended up landing in a few ditches after getting a bit overconfident. After listening to your show, I got my folks to dig out some pictures, and they found some of me in the bike. I love that bike and still think it's one of the coolest I've ever owned.
This is from Richard Pelling, who's in Fivey in Aberdeenshire, Scotland. My first mount was a rally, a trike, in fact. I think it was called a Tiger, although by the time I got it, it had been repainted at least once. But you could make out the markings underneath. It had solid wheels and the brakes didn't even have a cable. It was a metal rod that connected lever and brake. I loved it, and it kept me entertained in the early 70s. My first proper bike was also a rally. It was called a Rally Cobra, and I think I got it for Christmas in about 1973 or 4. It was the best Christmas present I'd ever had up until then. Even then, it was a strange bike, and I've never seen another like it. I did a search on the web, but none of the Rally Cobras I could find resembled it. It had a long padded seat, sort of like a chopper, but it was white and had a low chrome D-bar at the back. It had white wall tyres and Easy Rider-style bars. Me and my pals used to head off into the countryside and go fishing, etc. by bike. They gave us so much freedom. It was on my rally that my lifelong love of cycling started. We also keenly followed the exploits of Evel Knievel and tried to emulate them on our bikes. This eventually ended with one of the guys came a cropper on his chopper and got some nasty injuries, so he took the ramps down for good. So anyway, no idea what this Rally Cobra was, but it was a fine bike for a young lad. While talking of rallies with my wife, who is Finnish, she recalled that when she arrived in Scotland and moved into a cottage in the Highlands, a friend gave her a bike, a rally sit-up-and-beg style with a front basket. And she had a long look at it, and the first thing she noticed was that it said, by appointment to His Majesty the King, which she thought was hilarious, and which showed how long it had been on the road. She brought the bike down to Aberdeenshire, but alas, it has now gone the way of so many old bikes.
Oh, that's sad. Peter Nuttall writes in, my first ever rally wasn't actually a bicycle, it was a car. A yellow plastic AA pedal car that I was given for my 5th birthday, complete with a plastic telephone for answering emergency calls. I have to say, we're slightly cracking up here. The picture of Peter in his yellow plastic pedal car with the telephone for answering emergency calls. That's brilliant. Have you got a picture of that, Peter? We'd love to see it. Soon after, Peter writes, I progressed to bicycles. And as neither of my parents were cyclists, they always gravitated towards buying me the only brand that they were familiar with, the Rally. The best rally I ever had came at Christmas 1989, a rally mountain bike, which I think was called a Mongoose. It came at just the right time. I was a teenager who wanted to get out and about, but was still to pass my driving test. That bike became my best friend. Every Sunday morning, I was up at the crack of dawn for my latest adventures into the depths of Kent or Sussex. No cycling kit, just jeans and a jumper. I'm not sure if I even had a pump or a spare inner tube. I remember once cycling the 13 miles uphill along a busy A road to visit Our Price in Tunbridge Wells and to buy a vinyl EP by a new indie band called, as chance would have it, Ride, who had been hotly tipped in the Melody Maker. By the time I got back home, the vinyl had been bent in my rucksack and the sleeve was drenched in sweat. The mongoose stayed with me during my student days, and then, when I learned to drive, was finally relegated to the garden shed. But my rally story didn't end there. My enthusiasm for bikes was reignited when the Tour de France visited Britain in 2007, and thanks to eBay, I soon became the owner of a 1988 Rally Team Banana. It always gets admiring glances on the road and has completed time trials, sportives, and even the Catford Hill Climb. Why do I love rallies? Part nostalgia attached to the bikes I had when I was young, part a patriotic reaction against the dominance of foreign brands such as Trek and Specialized, which now seem to have usurped rally's dominance in Britain, but also because they made some beautiful bikes. The red TI rally bikes from the 1970s, Reg Harris's plum-coloured track bike from the 1950s, and Charles Holland's green rally record ace Continental from the 1930s. Maybe someone at the company will one day have a spark of imagination and reissue all of the above. And maybe, please, could they reissue the 1989 Mongoose as well? Thanks, Peter. Well, we got through them just about. I mean, there's fantastic memories up there, aren't there?
Incredible. And, I mean, just such a freedom for everybody. That's what struck me, how the rally seems to have given so many young boys their freedom.
I know. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's all men, isn't it? I don't know if that's saying something about the listeners to the bike show, well, they're all gentlemen. Uh-huh. But let's... Maybe there are... Or do you think it's that women don't remember their first bikes?
I think, I have to say, that's my problem. I think that men are more nerdy about it. They remember all the details.
Nerdy? I don't know what you mean.
Come on, all those little... Look, all these mechs and bloody D-bars. I mean, they know what was on their bike, not only what their bike was called.
Because you sort of lust after it on the way to school, looking in the window of the shop every day, again, looking at those mag wheels, looking back at you.
I think my sort of rally equivalent was probably a Peugeot, being, you might hear, foreign. I discovered rally in Britain, really. And at first, I thought it was some kind of cool brand because I'd never heard of it. And I soon realised that it wasn't.
You soon realised it was the British Peugeot.
Yeah, exactly. But only in the other direction is that Peugeot here seems to have some kind of aura, which to me is just a rally.
I think I'd be quite proud if my first bike had been a Peugeot. But it was Le Bike, my first bike.
Oh, it was.
Well, yeah, actually, the bike I had after my Rally Commando was a Peugeot. But while the Rally Commando just used to take me around the playing fields, I wasn't as adventurous as some of the listeners writing in, getting around all kinds of places on their Grifters and Commandos. On my Peugeot, I was 12 and I rode to Cambridge.
That's impressive.
I just rode over to Cambridge.
What did your mum have to say about that?
Well, she met me there.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, and I think drove us back, or we took the train back or something like that. So I think I'd like to do something with these memories. So if you, having listened to what we've been reading out today, have your rally memory, please send them in. I'm not quite sure what we'll do with them. Maybe we'll print them somehow or publish them on the show, read them out in another edition. But I think it's something worth keeping, because these are wonderful thoughts and wonderful times, and the bicycle does give an enormous amount of freedom to people. Thanks very much for listening to The Bike Show. Thanks to Ruby Wright and Jean-Marie Oron for reading out, and thank you to the listeners for sending in your recollections. Until next week on The Bike Show, from me, Jack Thurston, and my guests, goodbye.
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 El bicycle, quiere decir la bicicleta, pero en América es así. The bike, the bike, the bike, 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 the bike, the bike, the bike, bike, bike. We'll be right back.
es en inglés y no en francés. Que lo inventé. El bicycle, pero ahora solo hay que decir the bike, the bike, the bike, bike, the bike, the bike, the bike, the bike, the bike, the bike, bike, bike.
Hello, well, thanks for sticking around for a little bit of podcast extra. For those of you who are listening to the show via the podcast, I have a couple more rally reminiscences to share. The first is from Zach Vansilov, or Vansilow, who writes in saying, I bought my first rally off Craigslist just a few months ago, an older M800 hardtail mountain bike from the late 1990s. The previous owner is obviously not a cyclist if the condition of the bike qualifies as well-maintained, as it was advertised. The joys of resurrecting a bike and the feeling of dirt beneath my tyres have been wonderful. Jeff Fox writes in about another neglected rally machine. He writes saying, here's a photo of an old rally I took this morning whilst working in someone's garden. I've watched this bike deteriorate gradually over the last 2 years. Sad, eh? Well, it is sad, and it is awful to see a good bicycle go to rust and ruin. And that brings me to the subject of restoration. And what a great idea it is to restore an old rally machine. Well, you can restore any kind of bicycle, but there's something nice about restoring a rally, isn't there? And this is a question I put to Tony Hadland. I asked him, with all his wealth of knowledge about rally bicycles, what kind of bicycle would he be most keen to restore to something approaching its former glory?
I'd be quite tempted by the bikes from the 1930s. It's a fairly arbitrary choice in a sense, but I think there might be still quite a few of those lying around in the back of sheds. One of the great saviours of bicycles, in a sense, is the tendency that we have to go out when it's nice and sunny, and we go and buy a bicycle, and go, I'm going to take up cycling. And then people get a puncture. And the number of people who get the first puncture, put it in the back of the shed and say, I'm going to fix that. And then they don't. And something gets put in front of the bike. And 30 years later, when they're moving house, they find this bike under this junk at the back of the shed. That kind of thing is slightly exaggerated, but that situation does happen. And sometimes you get things that are very dusty and they've got superficial corrosion on them, but they're actually quite sound under that. And there were some nice bicycles in the 1930s. My very first bicycle, when I was about 9 or 10, I was given a bicycle because I had to learn to ride it to get to school, because the distances and the bus passes and so on that were available meant that I had to cycle 3 miles just when I went to the big school. So I had to learn to ride a bike. And I was given my uncle's bike that he bought when he went into the army in 1934. And it was considered very unfashionable by my mates because it wasn't new and it wasn't shiny and it didn't have chrome and it didn't have straight handlebars. But looking back on it now, it was actually a very nice rally racing bike. It was a rally speed with a close ratio hub gear, sort of Lauterwasser style handlebars. And that kind of thing, if you managed to find one of those, you could get a nice restoration job. The temptation to resist is to sort of strip it all down and repaint it, because a lot of this, if you get something like Auto Glim as a product for just sort of rubbing over, it will sort of burnish up the old finish and still look pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, you need to keep the old finish. Don't you? So there is a product you can get that will protect that and, yes, and it sort of halts the corrosion.
That's it, without sort of being too aggressive. It just gives a bit of a shine over the top of it and accept a little bit of aging. You know, that's part of the charm. But something like that with, say, 26x1 3/8 tyres, but of course that's a little bit of a problem to find that sort of thing these days. But
they can be found. There's the old bicycle company in Essex that will supply those kinds of things very happily.
Exactly. You can get them if you just ignore what Halfords tell you down the road, sort of thing. That would be a sort of project which wouldn't involve an awful lot of work. The Stomy Archer hub gears can be kept going, and it would have real character and still be quite nifty as well, because bikes by that stage were, you know, rolling along nicely.
Well, if you want to read more about it, if you're embarking on such a restoration project, or you've liked the very cursory approach that we've taken with the telling of this rally story on the show, Tony's book, it's terrific. It's called
A Rally, Past and Presence of an Iconic Bicycle Brand.
And it's published by the excellent Vanden Plas Publishing, Cycle Publishing out of San Francisco, California. It's a weighty tome. It's well worth it, though, because it's got a lot of illustrations, and I don't think you'll find a more readable and thoughtfully put together book. So many congratulations, Tony, and thanks for coming and talking about Rally on the show.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.
Resonance FM 104.4.
The first radio. It was a box with a cat's whiskers. Well, it's a little glass tube on top of the box, and to get the station, you had to twiddle a wire on this end here against a crystal in there, and that would change the station. But there was always a fight, because everybody wanted, there was only one set of earphones.